Hello, everybody, and welcome to the New Geek Actually, episode 123 for the 12th of March, 2011. I'm Dave McVeigh, and the air guitarist to my left is Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I couldn't help it, man. It's just that final riff is just so good.
And we must, we very rarely do it, so we must throw it out every now and again. Grant Noy, thank you very much for that theme. It is fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Grant Noy wrote that for our Tech Actually show, and actually, it goes back even further than that. It was actually a rejected platform. Theme originally,
Then Dave's not a huge fan of the electricness,
but I said we can use this. This is good,
and it's a great little thing, and you know, it has a lot of reference to video game and so on and so forth. So I mean, it fits nicely right in where it should do.
I think it's fantastic. All right, so what is this show? This is the Geek Actually podcast. This is your weekly dose of geek. We do a little bit of tech. We do a bit of geek. We do a bit of food. We do a bit of all sorts of things. It is the amalgamation of two shows. We were running a Tech Actually show and a Geek Actually after show. We smushed them together, and this is what came out the other end. So it's kind of like the waste material of two shows.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
I just, believe it or not, we actually like doing this show.
I love doing this show. I just want to make sure people's expectations aren't too high.
So anyway, man, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
No.
Hit me out. This is my little geek out moment. I just bought new headphones, which are these ones hanging around my neck.
Very nice.
I splurged because I've been using Apple headphones for far too long. No offense to them. They're great value at like the $40 you can get them for.
I really like them because they're small, they're lightweight, they don't get in my way.
But they're terrible for listening to music. When you listen to music with a good set of headphones, you just remember that there's all these bits in music that you totally forgot were there.
I agree. And the reason why I listen to the Apple headphones more than anything is because I listen to podcasts more than I listen to music. So if I listen to music, I fire up the big stereo downstairs.
Thank you. Ton of Mouse is saying awesome headphones are awesome.
That's true.
I agree. Very, very true. Anyway,
I just feel incredibly self-conscious walking around the streets with these huge headphones on.
It's a whole change of your style. Everything that you... No. I'm serious. Like right down. They you have to change everything because like the headphones I could throw in my pocket, throw in my bag, stuff like that. I've had to change bag sizes now. I've got a bigger bag.
You carry like a wheelbarrow around to carry your headphones around.
So yeah.
All right, you're being asked by the chat room, but what are they?
They are Sennheiser BT. PX360s.
Sennheisers are nice.
Amazing bass.
Sennheisers are a staple of the film industry.
Exactly, but the one thing about it is you have to spend over $100 on them because anything under that is a waste of money, in my opinion.
Autonomous has said that they can't wear their hat, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't wear hats, so I don't have that problem. But thank you for,
Freak says Sennheisers are awesome. Now, for those who are listening to the audio podcast, you're going to wonder who this freak Autonomous and everybody else is. We do have a live chat room running because we do this show live. We go out typically around the 12 o'clock mark. Today we're 15 past, but that's pretty much common for us. So we do go out live. Go to geekactually.com/live every Saturday from about the 12 p.m. mark, Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. And for those who are in the United States, I can even give you a start time. In the United States, if you are on the Pacific... if you're a Pacific time zone, we start around the 5 p.m. Friday mark. And if you're on the East Coast, we start around the 8 p.m. East Coast time. That's Friday, though, because of the international dateline. So I know it's kind of confusing. We are slightly ahead of you day-wise. We are like Doc Brown. We have traveled to the future, and the future is still here.
Yep.
And as long as you hear us broadcasting, you know the world hasn't ended.
Yet. But with the way that the world's going right now, with quakes and earthquakes and floods and radiation all over the place, who knows?
That's true. I also want to state, happy iPad Day, Josh. And from Josh's rant last week. Although I got to say, your rant must have been softened a little bit this week. By the iOS 4.3 update, some of the features.
I will go as far as to say this. I still am as upset as always. Not because, I mean, like, yes, there is a small part of me that's upset because I don't have the latest thing. I will admit that. But there's just a business model here I don't particularly like. As an example, things like certain products I've been running don't seem to run as well because they're all updated for the new iPad.
I don't know. iPad 1 is still running just as fast as
it's
it was.
Running. Well, no. I've got a couple of games on here that are chunking now that never chunked.
Oh, hello. text message.
So you didn't...
I didn't put it in silent mode. No, I'll have to do that at some point. Maybe next time you go on a rant, I'll wander around the table.
Well, are you trying to say my rants are long-winded?
No. It's just like you get very passionate about things. Let's put it that way.
Well, yes. As for the update itself, I like that, but we'll probably come back to that.
All right, we'll come back to that in a minute. Let's. We actually skipped this section last week, and probably a good thing because the show went for so long last week. But we skipped the impending robot apocalypse news section last week.
Yeah.
And this week, all of our links, by the way, I should state, are from Delta Knight, David Murray, who's in our chat room right now. Thank you very much for being our researcher. He sent us a couple things. First one is, I'm going to show a video here. It's very short. It's only about 18 seconds long. And you just have to see this. This is, once again, if you remember going back to tech, actually, many weeks ago, we talked about the Angel of Death, that strange robot that the Japanese had created. It looked like a female and had that creepy smile. That company, what's it called? The company is called KokoroCo.Limited, has now introduced this android, and they're claiming it to be the most realistic android yet. And his name is, and I love this, Geminoid.
Geminoid DX. Fucking creepy what he is.
So here's Geminoid DX. There's not a lot said in this. As I say, it's very short, but just have a quick look at this. I just think the hair on this thing is so realistic.
Dude, it's not just that. It's the fact that he's breathing and he's got his shoulders moving and like... He's just so creepy.
Oh, no, and look, they even gave him a receding hairline. That's the part that I think is...
I know, right? Like, Freak's got it right. It just looks so real.
I know.
It's creepy.
It's so creepy. And all I can think is... The day
kill it with fire.
Well, I was going to bring that up, actually, because the link that Delta sent through to us was from Geekology. And I was looking at, and you know, you read the Geekology articles, and they're always very funny about this stuff anyway, because they're always talking about, you know, we should burn this at the stake and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I was looking, and if you look at the very top of the article, there's the more section, which is kind of like their tagging section where you can find out more about this stuff. And I started to have a look through it, and... It started to make me laugh because the tags above it in the little fine print are things like burn it with fire, burn the rubber exterior and smash the metal interior, die robot, die, gotta kill them all, humanity, humanoid, not cool, scumbag. I think they're taking it just a little bit to heart. But I do think this thing is incredibly creepy. But the one thing that we are thankful for at this point is that none of these androids, and once again, all of these links for these stories are in our show notes at geekactually.com. Just look for the post of the episode and all the links are there. But the thing about these androids, none of them can move yet. They all still sit in chairs because they're all still wired to computers and stuff like that. The day they start getting up and wandering around, that's the day.
Can you imagine it? The video will be like the guy, like everybody standing around him. He'll get up and then just punch a hole in someone's face.
And the other part of the impending robot apocalypse news that got me a bit terrified was this Gizmodo article that was also sent through, which is "Move aside, Watson. Here comes computer lawyers." And all I can think is, we need to stop teaching these things to be smart. That's our problem. Apparently, they're working on the same sort of technology as Watson, the idea of looking at natural language, the idea of being able to decipher things by natural language, but to do it in law books. As assistance to lawyers, being able to find things out in cases, instead of just looking for like case names, it can actually go through cases and look for relevancy. And stuff like that. And all I can think is, boy, now we're teaching them the law. What's next? Judge Dredd, right?
Yeah. No, the robot Judge Dredd. What are they called? The giant ones. The one that he... Robots from Judge Dredd.
One of those destroyer thingos. Yeah. I was thinking more like Futurama. You know how the judge is always a robot in Futurama? Anyway, so I just thought that was kind of scary because Watson already scared me because it's so intelligent that when you get into dealing with things like the law and real things, so and they're saying, what was we said last week? Watson is being groomed for medicine now. So it's like, okay, so we're teaching them anatomy and our ethics and our law. Good. Well done. All right. We're going to have a move away from that for a minute and talk about something a little bit lighter because the robot apocalypse always vaguely freaks me out because I do believe it's coming. I don't believe in zombies. I don't believe in 2012, but I do believe we are going to make our robots smart enough that they will rise against us. You know, did the slave revolution in America did teach us nothing? You know, oppress people long enough, they will come back to attack you, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, what we will talk about, though, is we kind of hinted at it at the beginning of the show. Let's talk about Apple for a second, and let's talk about this iOS 4.3 update. And in fact, we're even going to go one step further. We're going to open the phone lines. We had so much fun opening the phone lines last week. We're going to open the phone lines again. Now, if nobody calls, I'm not worried. But if you want to call, stay on topic, though. And the topic is... Apple iOS 4.3 is now out. What did you think? If you are an iOS 4.3 user and you have downloaded this for your device, give us your feedback. Let us know what you're actually thinking about this at the moment. And while we're waiting for anybody to call, oh, I should give out a number, shouldn't I? That would probably be a good idea. it's a Sydney number, 02-8011-3167. Or if you are cheap, like I am, you can use Skype. It's actually Skype ID Geek, actually, all one word. Okay, so you can actually Skype us in, Geek Actually, all one word, or Sydney number 02-8011-3167. Now, of course, if you're listening to the audio podcast, the lines are now closed, okay? Yep. But if you're a live viewer...
Please don't go on your pod on
Don't immediately jump to your phone and go, I'm going to call, because you're
It'll
not going to get
very far.
Probably
be 2 o'clock in the morning and you'll upset us.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so if you want to call in and tell us your experiences... By all means, I'm going to say that I'm very impressed by 4.3 so far, what I've seen. Now, I want to make a retraction and an apology. Last week, we talked about tethering plans, and we talked about this whole mobile hotspot and tethering plans, and somebody in our chat room said, Optus doesn't charge tethering plans.
Yeah.
And I said, no, they do for me. Well, I went and did some research, because, of course, one of the features of 4.3 is mobile hotspot, and they were right. Optus has dropped all tethering plans, as far as I can tell.
Well, funnily enough, it seems like Vodafone has as well, or at least it works now in conjunction, because I managed to get mine to work as well.
Callisynth in our chat room has said, ha, direct quote from someone who just got the iPad 2. Oh my God, so thin. oh, we have a phone call. Let's have a look here. It's Delta calling. Of course it's Delta calling. Hello, Delta. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you going?
I'm good. How are you? Wow, that's loud, dude. No, it's not you. Oh, that's not you. It's our headphone volume. It's okay. How you doing, Delta?
Not too bad. Yourself?
I'm good. So you got 4.3?
I have, both on my iPad and my iPhone.
Me too.
Yeah. And the night that I got it, I tried the tethering thing as well. Yep. And Telstra has no tethering plans either.
Oh, so Telstra's not. Okay, so so I cut Josh off before. What's the deal with Vodafone?
Vodafone works.
So Vodafone has got free tethering, and so the hotspot works. Yep. Optus, I've fired it up, works perfectly well.
I kind of wish it hadn't, because if it hadn't, I would have had a reason for still using my MiFi. Now I'm just pissed off.
No, do you know what I said to Katie? Because she said the same thing. For my lovely wife, Katie, it's perfect, because she doesn't have a MiFi. She goes away, she can now take her iPad, and she can just use her iPhone 4 as a hotspot. Yeah. We should say... Mobile hotspot only works on iPhone 4, not earlier iPhones. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's got to be the right antenna configuration.
Yeah.
Now, so for her, it's beautiful. For me, I have a MiFi card. So she said, "Well, doesn't which is nicknamed Eve because it looks like Eve from Wall-E."
It has the lights on the front.
Yeah, it does.
And
every time I
like
bring it.
It
out, my wife goes Eve.
Nice.
It's very cute. But anyway, so she said, "Is now Eve now redundant?" And I said, "Well, no, because Eve still has another 3 gig of data."
Yeah, so that's like the only reason I'm going to keep using.
So I've got 2 gigs on my phone, and now I have another 3 like backup.
If my question is also for you, Dave. Is the MiFi faster than your iPhone?
I haven't noticed any difference in speed.
No,
actually.
Me neither, really.
So I found my iPhone tethering was fairly slow on my iPad.
Oh, really? Because I actually found mine really fast, and I also did it to my MacBook Pro, and I got really good connection on that, too.
Yeah, I haven't tried it on a PC, but only on my iPad so far.
Now, what I haven't tried, how are you connecting? Because apparently the hotspot can be connected via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi.
Actually, I tried both of them, and there wasn't that much difference at all.
Okay, so I've only tried the Wi-Fi. I haven't tried the Bluetooth connection yet. So I actually tend to run with my Bluetooth turned off. It's a paranoid thing, because Bluetooth is so open to hack, and they actually say you should always run with Bluetooth enabled so that it's not discoverable.
Yep.
Now, I do that too.
On iPhone, there is no switch for undiscoverable. There's just on or off.
Yeah.
So I just tend to run my iPhone with Bluetooth off unless I need it.
Fair enough.
So that's a personal thing. So what do you think about the speed issue? Because Josh is finding that his iPad's gotten a bit sluggish. Although, have you reset since putting it on?
I just reset it then, and I'm still having the same problems.
Okay, so are you finding it sluggish?
No, I'm having no issues at all.
It's only on new software I'm downloading. So stuff that's been launched around this time. My app for the week and also, what's the other one? Infinity Blade seems to be running badly now.
So is that running good on the phone, though?
That's the one I'm using.
That's got the faster processor. Yeah. That's interesting. All right. Yeah. All right. So you're not finding slowdown. So what is your favorite feature of the new iOS?
I love the AirPlay. Home Share.
Home Share is awesome. I fired it up last night.
It's fantastic.
For those who don't know what Home Share is, Home Share basically is a feature that's been on Macs for a while within iTunes. I think it's actually been on PC as well. It's just an iTunes feature.
Yeah.
I think it was about three updates ago. They've now added it to iOS devices, which means that all you have to do is key in the password for your iTunes account into your iPad, into the Home Share, and then your entire library is streamed onto your iPad from your computer.
Movies and
now,
everything.
When you're setting up this thing as well, you need to make sure you put in your Home Share details into the general settings.
That's right.
Actually where it is.
That's right. In general, you'll find the Home Share, and you key in your iTunes account. So what's really neat, though, is that I can put my iTunes account details onto my wife's iPad, my wife's iPhone, my iPhone, as long as it's all my details, and we all have access to share anything off my iTunes library.
Yeah, no.
Streamed.
Exactly.
And it's awesome. It works really well.
The other thing I wanted to say, and I'm sorry, guys, but, you know, that's cool and all, but I think we can all agree that the best thing that the iOS
I was coming
out
to that
is the fucking rotation lock.
Rotation.
I mean, reality is we all pressed that button and changed it back.
Yes.
You know I haven't changed it yet.
Oh, my God.
I had a date last night, so I was kind of busy.
I keep walking around the house, and every time I see my wife, I'm holding my iPad. I just go, look, honey, rotation lock. she thinks I'm a little bit insane at the moment, but I am so happy.
But
rotation
that's
lock
not
is
really
back.
That different to any other day.
That's true. I also noticed a little thing that that I didn't notice before, which was, you know, when you do the double click onto the bar.
Yes.
And do the side swipe to get to where the rotation lock now used to be.
Yep.
When you've got rotation lock switch turned on,
It's now a mute.
If you do it the other way around, it's rotation lock and the other one's mute. So they're now actually swapping backwards and forwards.
Well, good
right.
for them.
So I think that's very cute as well. And all I could say is, Apple, you wore like cake on your face on this one, didn't you? You really did. This was a big mistake.
I've got to say, though, that the other thing that is interesting is the new text style for the notes thing, and there seems to be a few updates to the actual note program as well.
Yeah, the note-taking is actually much more fluid as well.
Exactly. I've only noticed sometimes now that it's a little less and I think this is actually a good thing, so don't misunderstand me, but it's actually probably, it's interesting that it seems to be less forgiving with quick typing. Mm. Like, I seem to be catching a lot more mistakes than I used to.
Sorry, Autonomous in their chat room has basically said she missed something, and who's that dude talking? It's Delta Knight from the chat room is on the line with us. We're going to let you go, though, Delta, just in case somebody else wants to call in.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you very much. Have you got anything else you want to add before you go?
No, that's it.
Any other feature that's really rocked your world?
Not really. I haven't tried much else yet. It's just I haven't had much time.
Cool. And one last question. March 25th, you buying an iPad too?
No.
No, neither am I.
Some of the guys at work might be, but I'm not. I mean, the iPad 1's going to have to last me for another year.
I think the iPad 1 will quite happily last for a while. Josh and I disagree on this, but I think the iPad 1 is...
I think as someone that plays games on their device, they're going to force me into a situation where I have to.
Yeah, well, that's just...
Yeah, understandable, yeah. But I mostly just read off it and just use news articles and browse.
I'm not saying functionally it's going to disappear. It's just as an example, when I bought a PSP 3 years ago, I recently replaced it with another one, but it's still the same concept design. I can still use that same device now to play the games.
Hmm.
This is forcing me to update. This is making gaming, console gaming, this is making it a year-to-year upgrade thing. It's trying to force the amount of money you have to spend on a PC into a market that's technically...
Right. I may change my tune when I hit a game that I can't play, but at this point in time, I'm not
seeing
much
difference.
As an
example, one of the games that I will be bringing up for my app of the week, I am a little disappointed in because it runs like crap on the iPad 1.
Cool. All right, well, we'll come back to that at the end.
Mm.
All right, thank you very much, Delta.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you more in the chat room.
All right, man.
No worries.
All right.
See ya.
That was Delta Knight joining us to let us know that he also thinks HomeShare rocks.
It does.
Which it does. I mean, Delta, he's completely right. HomeShare, when I fired that up because I said, how well is this actually going to work? And boy, wow. It takes a few minutes to actually buffer up. And once it's buffered up, wow, it just kicks. Mm. Anybody else wants to call in? 02-801-13167, or once again, our Skype ID is Geek Actually. So overall, I think it's actually a positive update. One of the features that we talked about that we actually got quite hot and bothered about last week, where we actually said that the new iPad 2 is going to have HDMI out and give you 1080p or high def. I'm not sure if it's exactly 1080p, but it'll give you high def out through the socket and give you screen duplication, which is something we've all wanted for a long time, on the iPad 2.
Yeah.
And we said that's a feature that should have been on iPad 1. Well, apparently, according to the we haven't tested this yet, but according to the 4.3 update sheet that comes up, tells you what features there are, that HDMI out works on iPad 1. This is actually a 4.3 update, so I'll be very curious to test this. So what we need to do, when you get those adapters in at your work, we'll sneak in and see if we can plug one in.
Yeah. No, we'll see. Hell, I might even buy one, dude.
Well, you don't want to buy it unless we know it works. If it works, I'll buy one, definitely.
We can return it.
Oh,
as long
as
we, you know, open it carefully.
Carefully and put it back together. Yeah, yeah, cool. All right. Yeah. No problem. All right. Now, Autonomous says it's got to go. We should record this on Tuesday nights or something when they don't have to
really
go. But you know,
I have another show on
We've
Tuesday
been doing
night.
The same time. We do the same time slot every week, unfortunately. I do know it's a bummer. But as a reminder, if you want to watch the video of the show, I know it's not the live interaction, but if you want to watch the video and you don't want to just listen to the audio, we do put up the recordings on geekactually.com every week of all the video shows. So you can watch them warts and all. Okay. Well, while we're waiting to see if anybody wants to join us about this iOS 4.3. So let's move on to a little other tech news. We do have one feedback story, and I thought we'd just bring this up very quickly. Now, I haven't been able to go through this in a lot of detail, so we might be a little bit iffy on some of the details here. But a while ago, we actually talked about tractor beams on this show. We talked about the idea that cylindrical beam, which would actually heat up particles and bounce them off the sides to keep them flowing into a direction. Mm. Well, it looks like it looks like it's Chinese to start with. They're actually coming up with laser technology to do real tractor beams, to move particles. Now, this is a really interesting tech, but it's still in development at this point. So we're not seeing any real, I mean, I don't think we're going to be seeing, you know, dragging starships behind each other and stuff anytime soon.
Not yet. Give
but
it time.
Think about this. Here's a thing to think about, all right? If you actually had tractor beams, if you had the ability to push particle from one place to another, and you could do it on a large enough particle, what would stop you from making a flying car? I'm serious. It would be the concept of being, you, instead of pulling something along, you're pushing, like repulsor technology, being able to push something and literally lift it off the ground.
I totally agree. I think that it's one of the many ideas and concepts that if we can get it to work, we could make it happen.
So I just looked up, and James from Melbourne says, yeah, Paris Hilton has got one between her legs. What?
A tractor beam
between her legs. Oh, she drags people in there.
That's really gross, dude.
That's not a moon. Yeah. It's a space station. Anyway. all right, let's move on. So thank you very much. Tristan sent us that link, so thank you very much. It came to us kind of late, so I didn't have time to do a lot of research on it, but we will look into that in more detail and try and get a little bit more information on that as we go. All right. I'm going to quote Charlie Sheen here, and for those who haven't been following the Charlie Sheen
awesomeness that
has been going on for the last 2 weeks, he's got some wonderful quotes, and one of Charlie Sheen's quotes was, duh, and I'm going to say, duh, losers, because geeksaresexy.net has an article which I think sums up pretty much what we've been saying for close to 3 years now, which is, this report has come out basically saying, do you know what? It would seem that countries that have low incomes pirate a lot more because they can't afford the software. And if you made the software cheaper, they would pirate less.
Get what? The fuck out.
What a concept.
No way. That's amazing, Dave.
Well, I think that is the most, I mean,
you know, we gave companies a lot of money to figure that out.
I know.
Doesn't that just blow your mind?
Can I remind people that one of the most highly pirated pieces of software in the world is Adobe Photoshop? And look at the price on Adobe Photoshop. And the argument is we need to charge that much money because it costs that much money to develop. But at that much money, you've got a niche market.
Yeah.
If you charge $200 for Photoshop, you would probably sell millions more units, which would make up the money.
Yeah.
You know? What a concept. And then people wouldn't pirate it either, you know?
Yeah. So you'd end up with legitimate software. You'd end up with probably a bunch of people that would come back and rebuy your software when it got updated because it wouldn't be that expensive, so they wouldn't have a problem with it. And then if you did that, instead of making $500 off the 10 people that will bother to buy it, you get hundreds of thousands of dollars because people are willing to pay $150
James Melbourne
for a piece
how much
of software.
Is Photoshop? It's been kind of answered in the chat room, but I'll just mention it. Photoshop at the moment, I believe, is about $1,400-something for a base, and it goes up. And then you can buy them in packages with the other Adobe. I think the Master Suite at the moment is something like $5,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you get the whole
it's
package
together. It's
fucking
ridiculous.
And James has answered that by saying, what? Exactly, that's the point.
It's very hard to believe it, but that's what's going on. Yes. They actually charge that much
money.
That's
right, and the people who buy it are literally the niche market of designers and people who need it,
mm.
but everybody wants to use it.
Yeah.
And if it was cheap enough, everybody would buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody pointed out, it is Adobe. Zed, thank you. It is Adobe. Absolutely. It's like kind of like why are Apple laptops so expensive? It's Apple.
Yep.
You know, it's Apple. What can you do? This is the way these people think. You lower prices. It's that whole cost versus demand issue. Yep. And it's a basic marketing. You price yourself out of the market, people are going to steal it. You know, if you charge enough that you make money and people can afford it, you will sell so many more units. And this is why Apple can sell the iPhone and the iPad base model for $499 because they know they're going to move 15 million units.
God damn right.
You know what I mean? And they know they're going to make their money up in bulk. So anyway, all right. Now this is rumor speculation time. Apple has actually. I love this time. Apple has been building a data center for a long time. Remember, we've talked about this before. They've got a huge data center in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And they've been developing, and there's been so much speculation as to what that data center is for. There's been talk about maybe expanding MobileMe. There was talk actually only a month ago, people saying maybe MobileMe, and there was actually even the Wall Street Journal wrote that MobileMe was going to go free.
Yeah,
and it was going to become a free service. That still hasn't happened, and all this sort of stuff. But now it looks like Apple is actually in negotiation with the record labels again. They are actually talking with Vivendi, Universal, Sony, Warner, EMI, etc. And the rumor and speculation going around, and it's actually lots of different sources are saying this is the same thing, which is Apple is actually trying to change the terms of the music being sold. For us, for once. And this data center is supposed to actually be a huge archive center because what they want to do is make it unlimited music downloads. So when you buy an album, you can go back and download it again and again and again as many times as you want.
As it should be.
As it should be. The only reason they haven't done that up until now is because the record labels haven't let them do it. So they don't want to do streaming. That doesn't seem to be their modus operandi. They want you to own it, but they want you to be able to pull it down on any device that you own.
Well, it's interesting though, because the only thing that worries me about that is that when you start getting into this territory where you've got all people and all music in one place, I really worry that they're going to try, like anyone that's smart business-wise will look at it at the moment and realize if Sony can make what Sony's doing take off.
They can't, though. That's the problem. That was the other news story as well, which we failed to mention. All that stuff about their online music store, it's died on its ass.
You want to know why it died on its ass? For the same reason that they've tried this already. They tried it with the PlayStation, right? And they've launched the system where you pay money per year and you get all these free games showing up. The problem with it is they have timers on them. And it's like you've got this period of time to play that game, and then it goes back into Sony's vault and you have to rebuy it to download it.
It's a Disney strategy.
Exactly.
A moratorium strategy. Hate it.
But like the thing that pisses me off is it's like, so you use it or you get it at a discounted price, like say $5 instead of $20, and then at the end of that you don't own it. And it's like, I don't want to rent games And yeah.
Well, so I like this idea. I like this idea that you buy a song on iTunes and then your iTunes library collapses or you have a failure. You don't have to worry anymore. You can basically just log into iTunes and say, everything I purchased, like their new app store on the Mac. You just can re-download it at any time on any machine you own. I think it's a great idea. I would still like to see Mobile Me go free.
I would love that, too.
Yeah, I'd love that to happen, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But this looks like it might be happening. Now, why would the record labels, who seem to hate Apple, play ball with this? Well, as the experts are reporting, Apple is 70% of the retail music world now.
Exactly.
They own it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what Amazon's doing. It doesn't matter. I mean, they all sell music and they all do lots of nice business and make lots of money. Apple is 70% of online retail sales.
I'm loving iTunes at the moment. Like, I had purchased a particular song because at the time I didn't have enough for the album, but I bought a particular song because it was the theme to the show Luther.
Right.
And it was a Massive Attack song, and I bought it, and that was awesome. Anyway, I've been listening to the album at work over the last week, went to rebuy it. It's awesome because I never realized that if you buy a song off an album, when you go back to buy the album, it comes up with a lowered price. That's fantastic.
And there's also a little feature. If you look on the sidebar of iTunes, it actually says complete my album.
Yeah,
and
that's exactly what I did.
Click on complete my album, and it bought the rest.
And it was cheaper, and I was like, it's great to see that they actually think.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I've got no complaints about iTunes. I know there are a lot of iTunes haters out there. I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to say this once, and we'll leave it at that. But I think it's time to get rid of this partisan shit. All right, PCs, Apples, whatever, they're all just computers, dude. You know, and they're all coming at it from a slightly different angle, but they're all just computers, you know? Some things Apple does well, some things PCs do well, some things Microsoft does well, some things, well, I was going to say some things Nokia does well, but maybe not. But
this whole worldwide argument over all these things, it's never going to stop, and each one of them will have things I like and dislike about them. I find that Apple handheld products, though that may change over the next few weeks, so far work really well, and I like that. But iTunes is not a program that I will ever diss. I mean, over the years, it's got so much better on PC. Like, it used to just destroy your computer to use it. Now it's a lot better than that. And then on top of that, all the connectivity, and now things like being able to stream in and out of the program, being able to connect it up to Apple TVs and, handheld devices, whatever. All this stuff is really making me go, look, I mean, this program is really the one you want running the rest of your household music and the rest of your household streaming.
And, there's no doubt about it that Apple is aiming itself completely to be the domestic leader. They've even stopped doing the SAN raids and stuff like that. They're dropping their business stuff right, left, and center. So they are saying, we are the home market, right? Yeah. And if you look at their products, they really do suit that home market. They're easy to use. Mm. They're interconnected with each other. Everything seems to work very nicely. If you're going to go into the business arena, I don't think Windows has much competition at this point. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm saying. Everything has its good side and its bad side.
Yeah.
I have no complaints about Windows 7. I think Windows 7 is, from a Mac user point of view, I look at Windows 7, I go, it's the closest thing to a Mac that isn't a Mac. You know what I mean? And they've borrowed a lot of stuff from the Mac guys. You know what I mean? And once again, Macintosh has borrowed stuff from Windows. It's time for this partisan shit to stop. All right. Yeah. They're all just computers. Let's just get on to technology. You know, let's start using the technology together. Let's all be friends. All right.
Shut up, Dave.
All right. I'll skip that story. That story is boring. But this story, we're running over time again. But this story I thought we should bring up very quickly. Our Australian government is at it again. And you know what I think is the best part?
They're amazing.
What I think is best about this is that the article that I'm about to quote from is from the Register UK, which means England is actually reporting on our government that we're not even looking at. All right. But apparently the Oz government has now turned around and said, hey, there's online things to buy. We better censor all those, too. They're actually putting in a report that basically is now saying that they want to sanitize, I'm using the Register's word, sanitize the Apple App Store, the Android Marketplace, and they basically want to go through and all software needs to be fit compliant within the ratings board, and anything refused classification needs to be removed from the App Store. Mm. And as this article pointed out, has the Australian government not actually realized how strict Apple already is?
Yeah, no, I was about to say the same thing. I don't quite think they get what they're getting into here.
Yeah, so I think this is kind of scary. And I have to say that this is actually not Stephen Conroy for once.
Oh.
This is actually Minister of Home Affairs Brendan O'Connor who is calling for this.
Yeah.
And he's basically saying that all the online app stores need to be looked at. It's like, oh, I'm going to say this because we have an explicit tag, and I can fuck off. Leave it alone, man. You know, it's like, God, haven't you got a government to run? Don't you have something more important to do than leave us alone? You know. All right. Now we all heard of George Holtz.
No.
George Holtz is that little guy who hacked the Sony PS3. And basically rooted it so that he could put other operating systems on it.
Dude, he's a real looker, too.
Oh, he's a real looker. Basically, he hacked the PS3 and then put on his website all of the tools and stuff to be able to hack your PS3, basically saying you should be able to jailbreak your PS3 and do whatever you want with it. Sony disagreed.
Yeah.
And has taken him to court. Now, the reason, and this has been going on for a few weeks, so we're not going to go into the whole court battle here, but what I thought was very interesting was this week, the magistrate, Joseph Spiro, or Spiro, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but Spiro has now subpoenaed YouTube and his web provider, which, spookily enough, is our web provider.
Yeah.
For both DLC and the show, which is Bluehost,
yeah.
To basically make all of the visitors' data available to the court case. So if you actually watched any of his videos on YouTube and made comment, they've subpoenaed all the comments and all the locations and all the people from who actually watched the video. Even if you just went and had a look at it, the data that is there for you viewing it, they want it. They want it, and the reason why they want it is because Sony wants to prove how widespread it is and how international and how this and how that. And so basically they want all that information to say, see, he has done damage here, 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 and they can actually pinpoint it. And all I can think is that is just so unconstitutional in so many ways. It's like, I'm sorry, people who come and visit my site should not have to be worried that they're going to get subpoenaed just from visiting my site.
Technically, isn't a PS3 a computer?
Technically?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, technically, when you wipe out the OS...
Sony's terms and conditions actually say you're not allowed to jailbreak, you're not allowed to...
I don't have a problem. I'm not going to get subpoenaed, no. So I'm all right.
Dude, I've never looked at his videos either, and I've never been to his site, but I feel like I should just so that I can support him, because, you know, I just feel like at this point, I think this is so wrong in every way. But basically... He's going on the concept that the Digital Millennium Copyright Act says it's okay to jailbreak devices. If you remember, the Library of Congress said you are allowed to jailbreak devices. Sony disagrees with this. Yeah. And Sony is saying that it doesn't apply to them, and their terms of service are very straightforward. This case is going to get a lot messier before it gets resolved. But so just to let you know that if you have visited his site, well, now his site, by the way, is called geohot.com. So if you've ever been to geohot.com, your visitors' records are being subpoenaed by the government, all right? So by the federal courts.
And we've got James from Melbourne saying, what about Sony's right to copyright? Dude, this unfortunately falls into that very gray line of things like R4 cards for a DSXL or DS Lite or whatever, or anything like that, where it's like, it becomes difficult to actually put a yes or no on these situations, because technically jailbreaking itself does not necessarily do anything apart from allow you to use it as something else.
Or allow you to play, and what he uses it for, this guy's actually said he's never done anything illegal. He uses it for homebrew games, people who write their own software for PlayStation and want to be able to play it. This is a way to hack the machine so you can play homebrew games, right? And this comes down to a really big argument, which is, yes, Sony's copyright is solid in the sense of if you play pirate software, you are breaching copyright. But you're breaching copyright on the software, not the machine.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. The machine is just a computer. And this is why the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and the Library of Congress basically said it was okay to jailbreak your phone. Yeah. They're saying, we're not allowing you to hack the phone or resell it or reverse engineer it, but if you want to be able to put your own software onto that phone, you should have the right to do that.
Mm.
You know? Yeah, it's a difficult case.
Well, it's like Helton has said in the thing. It's like technically you've paid $800 for the hardware. What you do with it is your own right. And this is where this whole problem came up last time with the Apple iPhones and so on and so forth. And the reason we run the court case, because technically jailbreaking allows you to use another set of software that is not theirs, but technically by doing that, you're not doing anything against Apple.
Mm. And see, this is also an interesting thing, because this also follows on the heels of the fact that on the PlayStation 3, you used to be able to install Linux.
Yep.
And they took that feature away on one of the recent updates. And people have gone ballistic about this, because they're basically saying, I bought it to run Linux.
Yeah.
And you've taken that away. And Sony's saying they had the right to change this. And this is also a legal battle fighting at the moment. There's so much messiness to it. We just had a report from our chat room. Zed has said that Wii game we talked about last week has been pulled from sale in the UK now.
All right. Well, it'll probably be the same over here.
I'm waiting for it to get... When's it get released here? Is it out now?
I'm not sure, dude.
We'll have to find that out. Anyway, so look, I don't have a yes or no answer to any of this. What I bring this story up for is not necessarily whether he has done anything wrong or right. That is a matter for the courts to decide and whether for them to fight it out with Sony. What I think is wrong is them subpoenaing user data. Mm. I think the fact that if somebody goes to YouTube and has a look at somebody's video, that does not imply their guilt in something.
Exactly, and how far do we allow that to go? Do we let you go inside my computer if I checked out the video clip, or can you then check out the software on my computer and see what I did with that? Do you how far do you get to go with this?
It's a very dangerous road to go down when you start allowing this sort of stuff. And what pissed me off about it is the fact that the judge allowed it.
Yeah.
You know, if the judge hadn't allowed it, I would have said, great, good on you. But the judge has allowed it. So that worries me a little bit. But speaking of illegal stuff, and this is for all of you in our chat room, I believe. I don't think there's any Americans in there because they're probably all buying iPad 2s right now. But another study came out. Channelnews.com.au has a study that has come out. And I think this is something that we all already knew. 25% of Australians download illegal content.
No.
Yeah, apparently. We are one of the highest downloading countries in the Western world. We download a lot. But interestingly enough, and this is where it gets a little bit... This article doesn't really go into it. It actually says spanning music, film, television, software, video games. If you break that down, another study I read recently actually says the majority of our downloading in this country, funnily enough, is music, because music is always one of those problems, but it's television.
Mm.
We have a huge audience. In fact, we are, I think, second in the world, the first being Canada, who downloads so much television. And I think we have a very simple answer to that. If you actually bring it out on time, people won't feel the need to download it.
Well,
this is the connected world. We know it's playing. You know?
Look, and exactly. Not only do we know it's playing, but what's starting to piss me off about the whole thing is we start getting things like this, which make us look like this terrible, horrible country that basically, you know, steals all the stuff and things like that. Let me ask you a question. If Hulu actually made it here, right, to this country, you would watch that finger plummet. It would just shrink, because reality is we only pirate it because we have no other access to
it. Can I make a point that also say that studies have shown that the last season of Battlestar Galactica actually had less piracy in this country than previous seasons, because they actually showed it day and date on cable and released it day and date on iTunes.
Yeah.
So you could get it as the Americans were getting it.
Yeah.
People will pay for it.
Fucking A.
People will pay for it, or they will watch it on TV if it is here. Yep. If it is not here, then they won't. Then they will go and they will find it, because they just want to see their shows. I brought it up before, and I'll bring it up again, and it's not everybody's cup of tea, and I can tell you right now, I know the show sucks. But Smallville is a really good example. I saw an ad on TV for Smallville last night, and they were advertising the start of the new season, which is last season in America. And you sit there going, this is not the new season, guys.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, this is ridiculous. What is going on here? And we get these new shows. Walking Dead still does not have a release date in this country.
Yep. Everybody's seen it. Everybody's already done the episodes. And the only reason that any of us went looking elsewhere for it, or got people to get Australia, American iTunes cards so that we could get it, or
was
whatever.
Because we want to see it.
Yeah, we wanted it, and we wanted to watch it. And you know what? We want to be part of a technological age which can all see things together.
That's right.
We have the ability to do this. The only person standing in the way is you, and you're fucking stupid. Like, way that you do a classification system, and the fact that you are so far behind on technology that you still think we're in the goddamn dark ages in this fucking country.
And it's almost like the network sit there and say, well, you know, we'll come back to that one. It's okay. Nobody will know, and they'll just watch it when it comes out as a new show. No, we know what's on.
Yeah, we know what's on. We know when it's on. We know day and date when this new series that we really want to watch will be available. Okay? And you know what? Just let iTunes do it. At least one form of being able to get it here.
Or let us have access to American Hulu or something. Do you know what the problem is, though? The biggest problem here is that they wait. They don't release it on time. We all download it. We all watch it in advance. Then when they finally do show it, they say, oh, look, it doesn't rate. That's a failure. And they pull it from TV.
Exactly.
And they don't even show the whole thing. Because what they're doing is they're going, nobody likes it. No, we've already seen it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, rant over. But you know what? At this point, all I can say is if they are not going to bring television to us, and look, I'm not condoning the piracy of movies. I'm not condoning the piracy of games. I'm not condoning the piracy of music. That's a whole different issue. Mm. But television, especially free-to-air television, I'm going to sit there and say that if they're not going to bring it to us on time, then I will get it any way I can.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because I'm a television junkie and I like my shows.
Yep,
give me exactly. My stories, man. Simple as that. I think that, and look, I would even go so far as to say that premium content television,
yeah,
that even pushes the line. Maybe we should make that available on iTunes or something. If they, you know, but, you know, people pay for HBO. It's not like it's free to air. You know what I mean? But free to air television, your Smallvilles, your Houses, your V's, your, you know, what have you. This is all free to air television.
Mm-hmm.
God, just get it to us. You know, if you can't, if you don't have time in the television schedule, open up a Hulu type channel and at least put it there.
Damn right.
Put it somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. The other 75%
well
didn't answer the questionnaire. Brilliant. All right. Yep. All right.
So basically, you've got the 25% of people that actually tick the box, and you've got the rest of them that decided to lie.
Or the ones that go, I don't know, watch TV.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Now, we were talking about Apple before. We'll just come back to Apple really quickly and just say that there is a reason why Apple has such control over their App Store, but that it would be because the Android Marketplace this week, Guardian UK is reporting that 50 apps that they have discovered so far and have been pulled have been found to be infected by rootkit malware.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but this is because there's no approval process and anybody can put stuff up there and it's a wild west out there and that's the whole thing. Open source, man, it's all wild west. And all I can say is this is why Apple has such control. Because Apple wants to stop this sort of shit from happening. Now, I don't agree with all of their policies, but I do understand the approval process. You know, you want to make sure at least it's not going to destroy their devices.
Absolutely.
You know?
No, I get it.
So there you go. That's a very quick one, and I'm sure people are going crazy out there. We'll get emails saying, no, it should be free. Whatever. Yeah, write to me. if you got, look, phone lines are still open. 02-801-13167 if you are an Android user and fiercely disagree with me. Yeah. All right. Now, this was actually a really interesting article, and we'll do this really quickly because I want to get into geek stuff. But this is the last of our tech stories, and I just thought this was really fascinating. I didn't know how much we relied on GPS.
Mm.
I really didn't know. Apparently, in San Diego this week, disruptions happened citywide. You know, hospitals went down. Stuff was not working anywhere. The Naval Medical Center emergency pagers used for summoning doctors stopped working, and so forth. And it turned out there was actually an exercise going on where they were actually disabling GPS. The military was running an exercise. Who knew that this was going to cause such a disruption? Because what's happened in our lives is that GPS isn't just for mapping. Mm. GPS is used for coordinating things like when cell towers connect to your phone and all this sort of stuff. And so by shutting down the GPS, because this is what they were experimenting with, they were literally disabling the city.
Wow. That's incredible. Just think about that for a minute. It's like you lost a whole section of the city due to something like that. Like people just lost their shit. This is that sort of proof that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about how much we rely on technology. It's like when things like this happen, our world just falls apart.
Yes. It's like,
that was just GPS.
Yeah, this is just GPS. Apparently, ATMs were cash. It says customers trying to withdraw cash from local ATMs were refused.
Mm.
It says it took 3 days to find an explanation for this mysterious event. Oh, this was actually, sorry, this wasn't this week. They're only reporting on it this week because the box has all become public. It was actually 2007 this actually happened.
Wow.
It says it took 2 days to find the explanation as to why everything went berserk. It says two Navy ships in the San Diego Harbor had been conducting a training exercise to test procedures when communications were lost. Technicians jammed radio signals.
Mm.
Unwittingly, they also blocked radio signals from the GPS satellites, which basically brought all this disruption. And they're saying that the box that can do this costs $30.
Wow.
So one little $30 box can literally wipe out communication. This is like... this is like the EMP or something, you know, except it's not permanent. What is it we're saying? James from Melbourne says, of course, you can remember that scene in The Simpsons when the Krusty Show went off the air. Hey, Rob from Real Junkies is in the chat room. Hey, Rob, how are you? Nice to have you here. All right, so let's move on and do some geeky shit. So that was kind of tech. Tech was a little tech heavy again, once again. I know, it's been a bit that way for the last couple of weeks.
There was some interesting stuff
there's
in there.
There's some good stuff in there, some good stuff to learn. I will say that the Speaker of the House of the Legislative Assembly here in Australia, his name is Richard Torbay, is a buzzkill, man. He's a complete buzzkill. Apparently, a secretary in the office of one of the MPs wanted to be allowed to play social games like Farmville and stuff like that because she's on hold a lot. And she actually went to her boss and said, is it okay if I play these kind of social games? Because it's kind of like my form of doodling. While I'm on hold, I can just kind of put her away. It doesn't take any brain power. The MP said, no problem. I don't see a problem with that at all. Took it to the House, to the Speaker of the House, because they have to get approval for these sort of things. And Speaker of the House said no.
Why?
Speaker of the House said you're not allowed to play games while at work. Simple as that.
Yeah.
And so, it's like the Speaker of the House is a buzzkill, man. He's just
that's
just cold.
Yeah.
You know, I sit there and go, you know, if you're not doing anything else, what's wrong with it? You
dude,
know?
She's probably still going to do it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so that was that one. And this one I really wish Celine was here for. Is Celine still in our chat room?
Yes. Yes, but she's away doing stuff.
What a shame, because Celine might like this. There is a gallery... called Take a Picture. Now, I'm trying to figure out where this gallery is. It doesn't actually say where the gallery is. Anyway, in this art gallery is full of blank canvases.
Right.
And I think this is brilliant because what's actually happening is the behind the canvases, they have hundreds of little infrared lights.
Right.
And the artwork is made up of these infrared lights. And the only way you can see it is to use your cell phone camera.
Oh, dude, so cool.
So you walk around this gallery of blank canvases shooting things with your cell phone camera, and you can see the artwork in the cell phone camera.
Oh, dude, that's so cool.
I think that is brilliant. I think that is so clever, and I would like to see where this is. But it doesn't actually say, funnily enough, where
is. Why would you do that?
I don't know. Anyway, it's probably in the States. They get all the good stuff in the States.
Oh, no, it's .com.au. So, anyway, look.
We'll look that up. Where are you seeing .com.au? No, it's Gizmodo is doing the art. Is doing the article, but I don't know where the actual... gallery is. But anyway, I'd like to see that. I think that would be really kind of neat. Invisible art. And I also want to say, and I'm probably going to lose some listeners for this, no flash photography has ruined the canvas, as it says in our chat room, Zed. Geek.com has got the story, and all I'm going to say is, and I really apologize if I alienate any of you right now, but after that Android at the beginning of the show, to have this, I'm just going to say, what's wrong with the Japanese? Japanese developers have designed this new cell phone that not only looks like a little person, but feels like skin. It's supposed to make you closer to the caller. And by that stunned silence, I'm going to say...
the man who usually has an opinion on everything is kind of stumped.
What is wrong with the jet? Why would...
Hey, you know what? I am a firm believer in the fact that everybody should be allowed anything they want, and I have no actual personal problem with this. I just think it looks creepy as fuck.
Mm.
Look at that thing, man. It's like a handheld doll.
Now, if you want to see the picture, once again, it's in our show notes. You can go check it out. But it's a picture of a guy holding this little dolly in his hand. We can't make out whether it's male or female. But it's this little, but apparently this, it's skin texture.
Yeah.
So,
so we now have a phone that feels like skin, and we, all we need to do is put that guy from Ted that we heard a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, with like, where it can squirt water on you and stuff.
Exactly. Now all we need to do is combine all that, and then I can lick your ear while you stick a phone which feels like skin up against your face.
When does the dildo
or
phone
Or somewhere
come?
Else. Yeah.
When's the dildo phone coming
out? Wow, that's all really right. Creepy.
I got a little video I want to show you. I've had to abridge it a little bit because it's a little long because there is a delay from space.
That's
it's just one of those.
I'm sorry, that's fucked up.
Yeah,
that's... Just reeling over that for a minute.
All right. Space Shuttle Discovery has made its final flight. They're mothballing the space shuttles. It landed the other day, so it's down. But this video was actually brought up online. This is actually made by NASA. We'll play this video here for you. It's about, I think the video is probably just under about 50 seconds long, so bear with it. But this was their wake-up call. Mm. The mission control has to send the space shuttle a wake-up call. And this was a wake-up call that was actually given to Discovery. This is live video. Well, it was live video. It's recorded now. But this was live video of NASA control. Listen to the voiceover on this.
These have been the voyages of the Space Shuttle Discovery. Her 30-year mission, to seek out new science, to build new outposts, to bring nations together on the final frontier, to boldly go and do what no spacecraft has done before.
So there you go. Whoa. So there you go. William Shatner came in and recorded that specially for them. And I just thought
that's
was really
so
sweet.
That's so cute. That's like almost tear-inducing. It's just like, oh, man, that's like, we're in space, and like, we're all about... Yeah.
I just love our chat room at the moment, because the video footage is just Mission Control, and they're basically saying, boy, it's a party in there. You got to remember, guys, this is probably like 5 o'clock in the morning. These guys
no
have probably been up all night.
Yeah, no one's partying at 5 o'clock in the morning. Man, if you try and wake me up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'll probably try and stab you. I don't do 5 o'clock in the morning.
We also have a student, which we should talk about very quickly, because we are running out of time. But
really?
I know, it's really weird, isn't it? A student has come up with a new patent, and has come up with an idea for a new voltage control system for batteries that could basically be the breakthrough that we've been looking for. Now, what happens with a battery is when you do something really CPU intensive, battery clocks up so that it's using a lot of power. And then when you start doing something that isn't so CPU intensive, the power usage of the battery starts to come down so that it gets to a lower level so it conserves battery power. The problem is that's a slow process to come down. This student, he's a Harvard student named Woyong-Yong Kim, has come up with a new system where he believes that you can do fast voltage scaling. So if it requires power, it chocks up. If it doesn't require power, it literally just drops straight back down again. Mm. Now, this would actually extend life on batteries enormously.
Yeah.
Because you don't have all that slowdown cool-off period. Now, the problem is that I don't think he actually works for any particular company. He's just come up with this patent for this idea. So as the article in Gizmodo says, somebody buy this patent quick. You know?
Somebody get this man the money he needs to make that thing mass-produced.
Absolutely. So whether or not his system, well, I mean, his system was granted a patent, so it must work. Or work in theory, at least. So it'd be very interesting to see if that actually does something over time. And I have to agree, we're going to skip that one because we're running a little bit over, but we'll come to this one and say, I agree with the police on this article. This was an article in couriermail.com.au. Leaves a crime fighting to the police. I mean, really, this is an Australian wannabe superhero. He calls himself Captain Australia. And wait till you see his costume, dude.
Oh, please tell me he has... Oh, wow. No, actually...
That took you off guard, didn't it? Look at him, he's pudgy. He looks like a middle-aged accountant or something.
Oh, man.
Says he spends his days changing nappies, but come nightfall, the domesticated dad of two transforms into Brisbane's guardian. It says here he goes out, and he's carrying a torch, a mobile phone, and a video camera. And he goes out and tries to stop people from doing crime. He says that he actually stopped two sexual predators from taking advantage of a very drunk woman at a taxi rank the other day. Unfortunately, though, he was unsure of the citizen's arrest laws, so all he could do was chase them off because he wasn't sure what he was allowed to do. The Brisbane police have basically said, yeah, look, they appreciate that he wants to try and help, but please just leave the crime fighting to us.
Dude, how about instead of walking around in a goddamn costume, you just, you know, like maybe
join
go
the police
out?
Force?
Or, yeah, join the police
what a concept.
Force, maybe.
Yeah.
You don't want the laws or anything like that. You just want the glory. And it's like, dude, go home, okay? Like, seriously, if you're a great person, wander around the streets at night and actually help people and stuff like that, that's fine. You don't need a costume for that,
man.
You're just trying to drag attention to yourself.
Let's also say that Phoenix Jones character who we talked about from Washington State, who used to wear body armor and mace and everything else, we showed that video of him, he's retired now because he got shot at once too often. You know? It's like, and you look at, he was this huge guy, super fit, lots of body armor. This guy's wearing an at symbol on his chest.
Yeah, dude, the whole point of Kick-Ass, like for the people that missed it, was the point that you get fucked up if someone tries to do this stuff to you. You get ribs broken. You get stuff. You don't walk out. You're just driving yourself to a point that you've already seen happen in the movie where he basically breaks everything in his body.
And we also want to point out that it all, you know, the whole concept of superheroes, we love superheroes. I read comic books, love superheroes. Yeah. I mean, but the bottom line is, in our world, in the real world, vigilantism is illegal.
Yeah.
And if you go out and try and beat somebody up for doing a crime, you will get arrested.
Mm.
For doing it, you know what I mean? So just let's leave law enforcement to, you know, you see a crime, call the police, report it, you know?
Yeah.
Take notes, report the crime, don't try and stop it.
Yeah.
Don't be a hero, you're going to get yourself killed, man. Mm. And you've got two kids.
Yeah.
Most importantly.
Absolutely.
You know? Anyway, and yeah, you don't look like you're prepared for the world out there, let me just tell you. All right, we're going to move into some weird food here. And we're actually going to take a change of pace here because Delta sent this through, and this is the goddamn weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's not food.
Oh.
This time we're not going to actually do weird food. We're going to do weird eating, maybe. That's what you could call it. A company has come up with a pacemaker for your stomach. Basically, instead of just getting a band in your stomach that, you know, shrinks the size of your stomach, like, you know, they band the tummy for... Mm. This thing actually... like manipulates your stomach, so when you eat, it actually manipulates your stomach so that your stomach thinks it's hungry, so it thinks it's full. Sorry.
Oh wow!
And all I can think is, what could possibly go wrong with this? This small electronic device embedded in your body that is wrapped around your stomach. No, is it Japanese? Is it our chat room? I actually don't think this one's Japanese. Funnily enough, it's called the Ability Stomach Pacemaker and is purportedly the first intelligent quote unquote form of obesity intervention. This is from Gizmodo. Once again, if you want to go read the links in our chat, in our show notes, surgically implanted pacemaker detects when a patient downs food or drink and zaps the stomach with a series of electrical impulses to generate the feeling of fullness.
Hey, look, if it's going to work, I still think that, you know, we'd want to make sure this stuff works 100%, but weirder things are happening right now. We have skinned robots, Dave. I can deal with the concept of something that would help people
maybe
not eat as much.
Make sure we have one of these embedded in every skinned robot, because that way they'll feel full and won't want to eat us. I don't know. I worry. It's the same thing. I mean, look, pacemakers are great. They keep people alive and so forth. This idea of having things embedded in my body freak me out. All right.
Yeah.
It's kind of one step towards cyborg. You know, it really is. All right, let's get on to our picks of the week. I'm going to go first because my picks of the week are really simple. Mm. And I'm going to say I have two picks. One of them we've already talked about, and that is iOS 4.3. I think the mere fact that on the iPad it gives me rotation lock and on the iPhone it gives me mobile hotspot, that's grounds enough for this piece of software to be a pick of the week. And if you have an if you have an iPhone 4 or an iPad, look, earlier iPhones, I don't think, I mean, it supports 3GS, but really, you want to get your updates and so forth, great. But for iPhone 4 and for iPad, this is a must update.
Yeah.
All right, so grab that update. It's free. If you don't know how to update your iOS device, all you have to
contact
do
us.
Well, contact us, or I can explain it in two steps. Plug it into your iTunes account. Click the button that says update, follow prompts, okay? Simple as that. Takes a little while to do. My second one is actually something that was unexpected. And because it was unexpected, I will say that I'm in love with it. And that is GarageBand for iPad. Now, the reason why it was unexpected was because when they talked about it at the announcement, it looked like it was going to be iPad 2 only. And I thought that's a real bummer because I'd really like to play with it. And as it turns out, it works perfectly well on iPad 1. And it is a masterful piece of software. It's a big piece of software, don't get me wrong, but it's a masterful piece of software. Six-track, multi-track production. It has smart instruments built into it. The instruments are wild. You can play in automatic chord mode, or you can pluck yourself, and you can actually have bass guitar, guitar, drums, or keyboards. This records directly to one of the timelines. You can then manipulate it on the timeline. You can add voice recording. You have loops. You can add loops in there, so you can actually help bolster stuff up. And it really is quite an amazing piece of software.
What's the price on it?
I think it was $5.99.
Wow.
It's relatively cheap. It could be a couple dollars off that, but it's relatively cheap. It's iPad only. And the best part of it all, and this part I haven't tried yet, but I've been told, is it's fully compatible with GarageBand on the desktop. So if you're working on something, plug it in, you can actually transfer it back to your desktop to continue working on it if you need to make it bigger or what have you. But as a person who works in audio, for podcasts and stuff, all I can think is if I'm out on the road and I need to do a mobile podcast, you can actually edit it, tag it up with, you could record it, edit it, tag it up with beginning and closing music, put your clips in and so forth, and upload it directly straight out of your iPad. So if you're on the road, this whole concept of the iPad just being a consumption device and not being a creation device, this line is starting to blur.
Look, I mean, I've seen real artists try and actually do albums using the iPad, and so far I've felt they really failed. The all music that I've seen produced on an iPad feels really hollow because it's missing proper production value. But if you can install a program which can start creating that, this is where we want to be heading.
And it's got filters and all
I understand,
sorts of stuff
like, don't get me wrong, I understand why these people are trying to do this and try to explain this. It's like music on the road, music when you're out, music, you know, like these are bringing the ideas right down to a device that's mobile. I think that's great. I have no problem with this. But what I am saying is, I haven't seen it yet, so something like this really puts some faith in me because it's like,
it's very interesting. It's an interesting piece of software, and as I say, if I was going to do some serious work, I'd still want to be on the desktop because you want the power of the desktop. But just for a mobile device that you can use while out and about on the road, it really is quite something. I was having a play with it yesterday. This is something I was not going to get. Don't trust me. It doesn't sound good. But there you go. There's four tracks on a timeline ready to go. You know what I mean? This is, once again, this is a loop. This was just a drum beat. This was just, and it really is just screwing around. I think this is actually in mute at the moment.
No, but you've got it.
So that's literally four tracks all running simultaneously.
Wow, that's really cool. I'm totally getting that.
So it's as I say, this is nothing to write home about, but it is an amazing thing. And the voice recording, once again, we do believe, once we haven't tried this yet, but we do believe that using the camera connection kit on an iPad will actually allow you to plug in a USB headset with microphone.
Oh, well, there you go.
Now, once I've heard this works, not all headsets, but like the Logitech's, I believe, work through the USB that you can, the little USB connector. So I'd like to try that out, because if you could get a decent headset that works, man, mobile podcasting, you're on the road. You know what I mean?
For sure.
You go to something like Supernova or something like that, you could literally record a show right there on the spot. So it's good stuff. I actually really like it. I will say that I'm sure iPad 2 gives it a little bit more stability. I did manage to crash it once while I was working on it, and all I could think was, slightly faster processor, that may not have crashed. So I was really strumming the guitar a lot, and I was really hammering the guitar. And it just went, dropped out. And it's like, that's probably a lack of processor right there. So, now my iPad is running slow, but I am installing GarageBand. We're a GarageBand. All right. So anyway, the other thing, a little handy hint for you. As soon as you run this update, when I first took it off iTunes after the update was installed, even just moving the menus was going, and it was like, it was really struggling. I reset the device, and that all went away. I didn't reset, sorry. I just turned it off and turned it back on, and that all went away. I think whenever you do a major update to your system, refresh the install. Josh, your turn.
My game is a game from Taito. This is my app for the week. If you guys have never played the awesomeness that is Puzzle Bobble, you guys should really get into it. It's a very, very simple game. It's one of those great kinds of games that are just really addictive and really fun, like Bejeweled or anything like that.
What's it called, sir?
It's called Puzzle Bobble. It's $3 at the moment. And basically the concept is you shoot the particular round balls and try and get them in groups of the same color. And basically when you hit them, you can actually like blow up certain sections. It's an old puzzle arcade game. Thank you, Bouncy. And it's just really, really fun. So
that looks fun. I want to play that.
Yeah, dude, it's colorful and it's so Asian and it's in all the best kind of ways. So
it's kind of like a really colorful Breakout.
Except for you've got to match the colors up with the particular colors to make everything work. But
Oh, do you know what it is? Oh God, it's like Snood.
Snood? I don't remember Snood.
Oh man, Snood! I'll make
He's
that a pick.
Old.
I'll
Have
make
we ever told no, you
no,
that?
No. I'll make a pick for that right now. It's actually on iPad. Snood is a game that's just like this. We used to play it on Mac a long time ago, and it's now come out on iPad, and they've actually made it so you can have two different style of graphics, original or these new updated graphics. I don't like the updated graphics. I like the original. But Snood, I think you'll find, is very similar to your game there.
It's basically they tried to copy it without actually copying it.
So if you want to, there's Snood for those who are watching. Snood is very much the same sort of game. So there you go. I'm going to get this because I love this style of game.
Yeah, dude. It's a fantastic game. If you haven't played it, it's definitely worth it. And I did just do the update and do a reset, and the game's running better now. Yeah. So
I found that
it still chugs in the menus, which means it was probably designed on the second one. But
designed for the faster processor. And more importantly, for the faster graphics processor.
Yeah.
All right, so you've only got the one today?
Just that,
Okay, so we'll throw Snood in as a bonus for you there as well. So you can get Snood. Snood is a lot of fun. I think Snood is about $1.99 or something. How much is that one?
That one, I think, was $3.99.
Okay, I'm not sure about Snood's price because I didn't think we were doing it, so I didn't look it up. But I could be wrong about that price. I think there is also a Snood Lite. You can try it if you want to try it. So have a look at that. Rob says, damn, Snood was a bunch of fun. Snood comes from a long time ago. It was actually back in the late 90s we started playing that. And it's the music that became addictive in Snood, because every time you got the things out, it went, dun, dun, dun. But I want that bubble one because that looks like a lot of fun. So I'm going to try that one out as well.
I got to start buying apps. I bought so much on iTunes store this month. It's just ridiculous.
I've actually been very, very good. I've only been looking through the free stuff for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I've been buying very little because I was spending so much. Oh, there you go. Snood is about $5.99, says Delta. All right. So, so I've been very good. I've been trying to only buy grab the freebies. And I've been going through a lot of freebies lately. It's like stuff coming on and off my iPad constantly. And I've had a lot of. Have you played Carnivores? It's like a first-person hunting game. So it's, but it's a full 3D world, and you roam around and you're hunting dinosaurs.
Wow,
It's kind of fun. I've actually taken it off now, but I was playing. It was free.
Free
at one point. I don't know if it's still free, but Carnivores was kind of fun. The only problem I had with it was that the dinosaurs were very far and few between. So you spend a lot of time walking, looking for the dinosaurs. But if you can find There it is. That's for iPhone. There's also one for iPad. All right, we're going to finish this show off with a little piece of history, because we do like a little bit of history. Now, I have to explain this one, because it is a visual gag.
Yeah.
All right? Now, this was sent through in the links, and this is from 1993. It's a video of playwright and internet enthusiast John Allen basically making his prediction about the internet. Mm. And I'm going to let you – we're going to play out on this. We'll come back and say our goodbyes and do all that stuff in a minute. Actually, I was about to say we'll play out. We won't play out because we haven't done our things. But I want you to watch this very quickly. We'll come back and we'll explain a little bit more about what's happening on screen for the audio listeners. But for the audio listeners, I do want to say to you, to get this – in for its entirety, you have to watch it because it's writing on the screen. As he's talking, they're bringing stuff up on screen. And it's the stuff up on screen that is making what he's saying irrelevant.
Yep.
And so basically you can say that he got his prediction completely wrong. Okay, so I'll just play it through. And then for those who are actually watching in the chat room, pay attention to what's on screen. And for those who are in the audio chat room, we'll explain when we come back what was actually there.
John Allen says it's a modulated anarchy.
There's an interesting kind of restraint that you find. I mean, there's not a lot of cursing or swearing. There's not a lot of personal cuts. There's not a lot of put-downs that one would expect to find. There's not, you know, there's not screenfuls of, you know, go to hell, which is surprising. So the kind of liberation is mixed. It's interesting because one would think if you're anonymous, you'd do anything you want. But people have in a group have their own sense of community and what we can do. The thing that though that I'm always left with when I leave is this overwhelming desire for people to be rooted. And the only way they feel rooted is through another person. And if this is the way that they, the only way maybe, that they can talk to somebody, this is how they'll do it.
Okay, so basically what he's saying is that he's amazed how online everybody is well behaved and they don't swear and they're all very nice to each other and it's this beautiful community. And, you know, he's amazing how ground, he's saying rooted, but what he's meaning is grounded, and everybody's very grounded in the way they are. And what's happening on screen is they're actually putting up Facebook posts and Twitter messages, which are all basically saying things like, fuck you ugly, and, you know, and all. And so what he's saying is in 1993, he thought it was kind of like this utopian place, the internet.
Back then.
And in fact, somebody actually pointed out in the article, it's because they were all adults back then.
And more than just the fact that they were all adults, it's like at that stage, you knew so much about how to do things on a computer, people were scared of you. Because it was like, at that stage, man, I was mucking around with things like Deep Throat, which is not a porn program, it's actually a back office client which you can run over someone's computer to basically get inside it. I never used it for anything.
That's like Black Orifice's Cult of the Dead Cow's Black Orifice.
Yeah,
when they brought that out as well.
Exactly, and all these sort of things. So it's like there was a respect because the people that were doing this stuff were not just day-to-day users running on a giant network site which had a lot of privacy on it. It was you were contacting someone from literally IP number to IP number.
That's right.
Through some sort of a
and
client
somebody
system.
Said, like he was actually saying, it's amazing because people are anonymous.
Yeah.
You would think that they would go crazy and say whatever they want, but they're not. And our chat room has basically just said, it's because people are anonymous, they now feel they can say whatever they want.
Exactly.
You know? And it's true. And that's what's happened is everybody is online now, and opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one. You know? And we have ours. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so what's happening now is that people will get on. And, you know, we've got the trolls out there who will immediately just start banging on people.
Dude,
you know?
It's the best way I've ever seen it described is actually an album by a band that literally called their album, because it's about people like this. It's literally called A Sea of Cowards.
Mm.
And I think that's an absolute brilliant way to put it. It's like, if you don't have the balls to say it to someone's face, you shouldn't say it to someone
absolutely
online.
I agree with that
100%. It's like, if I met any of these people, because it's funny, because when this sort of stuff started happening, it, like, I was still in school, and I would show up to school and confront these people because I'd know who they are, and I'd be like, what's up? And they would just shrivel. They would just be like,
Well, that's why people freak out, really. I mean, let's face it. One of the reasons why people really freak out when they are required to use a real name. One of the things that we do on Geek Actually, you'll have noticed, yes, Josh has got a tag that he uses sometimes, and, mm-hmm. and Grant has a tag that he writes under, but his real name is never hidden.
I'm not afraid of anything.
We have
I say.
A policy on Geek Actually where we don't hide behind anonymous names. No. We'll always be upfront as to who we are. When exactly. I mean, we all have handles that we use in various games, but I never hide my identity. Yeah. When I go into a forum or something like that, I always log my name as my full name. Mm. Damn straight. If I'm going to say something, people are going to know it's me.
Yeah, exactly. I want them to know it's me.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
all right, so that's your little piece of history. How wrong could he have got it? And that's the problem. Anybody going back from that date looking forward would never be able to predict the internet is where it is today. Yeah. All right, I think we're done. I think if we've got nothing else, we're going to get out of here. We'll say that if you agree, disagree, or want to throw in some opinions, or you find a really good story like Freak did for us, send it to feedback@geekactually.com. Now, just a reminder, we used to have a tech email address called it's tech@geekactually whatever it was. Those old email addresses, the platform's email address and so forth, I'm going to be eradicating soon. We're cleaning the server, all right? So the only feedback email address we are really looking at the moment, the one we still check the other one, so don't worry, but please start it's geektech@geekactually.com. Please start sending all feedback to feedback@geekactually.com. It's one centralized feedback line. Delta, this doesn't apply to you, okay? I'll talk to you separately because he sends me notes. That's a different email address. I'll talk to you separately. All right, so feedback@geekactually.com is the one centralized feedback address for both shows. And just put in the subject line which show it's for. Okay, that's the easiest way to do it. Or you can send us a voicemail, 02-801-13167. I have a missed call on Skype. Did I miss somebody's call? No, it's a mood message. I hate mood messages. God, I hate that crap. All right. Voicemail line is 02, Sydney number 02-801-13167. Or our Skype ID is geek, actually, all one word. Get your merchandise. Join the fan page. Follow us on Twitter. Tumblr pages, anything, basically. You want to find anything about us, go to geekactually.com. Front page right there. Everything is there. Okay? As far as merchandise is concerned, we're in the middle of updating the line. We talked about this last week. I haven't had much time this week, but we are in the middle of updating, and I just found out that there's this new funky-ass 5-in-1 iPad case that we can actually get our Geek Actually logo put onto, and I'm going to put it on there. Check it out. It's really expensive, though. God. But I want one. I actually want one. I'm thinking about buying it. But it's fantastic. So, yeah, we're getting our logo. And we're getting the Geek On stuff done for Delta, for his cup and stuff like that. We're getting all that stuff done. This week I'll have more time. It's been a bit chaotic this last week. Watch us record the show live. We've already said you can watch us live, and sometimes we open the phones like we did today. We'd love to hear from you. Saturday starting around the 12 p.m.-ish mark. Today we were 15 minutes late, but around 12 p.m.-ish every Saturday we start with Geek Actually, and then we record Film Actually straight afterwards. geekactually.com/live. And Josh, I believe you have a little something you'd like to push.
RawDLC.com is a gaming website. You should go over there and check it out. We've been very busy putting up content. We have new shows. We have a whole bunch of interesting stuff. Dave's been doing interviews with people about Brink. You should definitely go check out everything that's on the website. We also go out live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. That's Australian Eastern Standard Time. Please come and check us out. It's good fun. And, of course, Arbiter is coming out with a new issue in probably 2 weeks' time, 1 week to 2 weeks' time. Get ready for that because the next issue is going to be great. And if you haven't already subscribed, if you could take a moment to go to the website and subscribe for us, that'll mean that we can get your issue, and that would be awesome for
fantastic.
Both of us.
Fantastic. And we're going to be launching the new Arbiter page and everything with this issue, so it'll actually be a big one. And we also want to say hi to our friends really quickly, which is the Real Junkies. Rob is in our chat room right now. Is he still here? Rob, you still here? Rob has left. What a shame. Rob is from the group of guys that are collectively known as the Weekend Ronin. They put out the Real Junkies podcast every week, and funnily enough, they reviewed this week exactly the same film that we're going to review, which is Rango. They put out their movie podcast. They sit around, they chew the fat, they talk about movies, but they drink tequila while doing it, so it kind of gets fun. Because you never know quite how the tequila will take them. But no, they are a lot of fun. Find them at weekendronin.com or search for them on iTunes. That's R-E-E-L for real. Raw DLC we've done. Josh Spencer did our artwork. Find him at attackninja.blogspot.com. And who else can we plug while we're here? Celine's website is godwithpinkhair.com. Who else can we plug while we're here? I don't know. I'm plug crazy at the moment. Anybody got anything in the chat room you want to plug? I'll plug it for you. You got 1 second to put it up there. Other than that,
we're
going to get out of here. All right. Game Prawn. J. James from Melbourne says we should plug Game
I'm not
Prawn.
Doing the voice. That's Dave.
No,
thing.
No, we don't do that. GamePrawn.com. Is it AU?
.com.au, yeah.
.com.au. You can actually find the link.
No, right .com.
.com. You can actually find the link right on our front page. We actually do support her, and it's a fantastic site. I do agree. And you can actually find their link right on the front page of geekactually.com as a banner ad, because we actually like them. And no, I don't do the South African accent.
Yeah.
So, again, I have to say, before we get off air, I just have to say that was the most tame. And I'm not complaining. That this is not a complaint. I was surprised. That's all. It was the tamest plug from Dave for this show I've ever heard this week.
It was rather bizarre,
and it was like a normal plug. And I think, wow, that was well done. He started by saying 11 billion hours, which equals 2.
I love that he finally brought it back in line. Me and Nathan, if and when we get the video shot for it, you'll notice this little tiny like. Exchange of eye contact for a moment. We're like, just don't do anything.
No, it's like, wow, I was stunned. It was actually like he just plugged us. It was we didn't go through the whole. Oh, actually, no, he did.
Be careful. If we talk about this too much, he'll just do it again. So,
oh, I don't mind. Dave's a lot of fun. All right, we're going to get out of here, guys. Thank you for joining us. Remember, Film Actually is coming up next. And without further ado, I'm going to say thank you, chat room. Thank you, Josh. And we'll see you all next week. Bye now. We'll be right back.